I want everybody to listen, and I'll speak right up. See that right there? The Bible predicts this would happen. That white dove kind of reminds me of when the Pope came here recently. And the Pope went to Yankee Stadium, and he spoke. And, you know, the problem is they let these white doves fly around, which is a symbol of peace. And the Pope wears white, which is a symbol of peace. But, you know, this reminds me of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, the first horse that will come out of the apocalypse, the first horseman of the apocalypse, is what color? One of the men tell me what color that is. Yes.
White.
It's a white horse. And this is a symbol of peace. And the Bible says, as we come to the last 7 years before Christ returns as the real Prince of Peace, there's going to be false Christ. And the Pope is a false Christ. You say, why is the Pope a false Christ? Because he puts himself in place of Jesus Christ and says he has power to confer to bishops and to leaders, and then they to priests, the ability to help to forgive sin. And he can offer the body of Christ, even though the Bible says Christ's body was offered once for all, and nobody else can add to it. Once for all, he died to take away our sin. And so there are those, like the Pope, that have added to the finished work of Jesus Christ some work of man, some work of religion, and they're giving us a false peace, because the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that he already preached to them, let him be accursed. Let him be damned to hell. And so, listen, it's very important that you do not think you're going to get to heaven by any religious work or any work of your own, a good work. You have to rest in the work that Jesus did, the finished work that he did when he died on that cross and shed his blood and paid for our sins. He was buried and he was raised again. And you put your faith in the Lord, and the Lord alone will save you. It's not Jesus plus Mary. It's not Jesus plus the Eucharist. It's not Jesus plus some sacrament of the church. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. And listen, I believe there as we come to the end, there's going to be a false peace. And that's why we need to study and understand Daniel the prophet. And I'd like you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 9 as we've been looking at this. And we want to get right ahead. We looked at Daniel 9. We looked at prior information about the prophet. And we looked at prior information about the prophet in Daniel 9, 1 and 2. And then we saw the prayer of the prophet in Daniel 9, 3 through 19. And now we are looking at the prophecy presented. And we've looked at that as an answer to prayer in verses 20 through 23. But I want to ask you a question, if you're one of the guys here. Who was it that came as an answer to prayer from God to give Daniel the message about how long it would be before God had finished his chastening, his punishing of his people Israel? How long would it be from the beginning of a certain time until Christ set up his kingdom on earth? How long that would be? Who was the one who God sent to give Daniel that message? What was his name? One of the men have to tell me. Mark Baca.
Gabriel.
Very good. Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. Now listen, this happened in about 538 BC, 538 years before Jesus came. And this happened by means of an angel Gabriel who came, and about 4 p.m., because that was the time they had the evening sacrifice, where they would sacrifice the animal sacrifice there in the temple. That was about the time the angel came, and Daniel was glad that the angel answered his prayer. By the way, when you pray to God, you might not get the answer right away, but the angel told Daniel, you are greatly loved of God, and God sent you this answer. Sometimes Satan will hinder your prayers from being answered. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. God still loves you, even when times are difficult and you're going through a hard time. You know, sometimes I have people come to me and say, I've got parents in my life and they're not living for God like they should. And I want to live for God and I want to go to Christian school here. I want to do this or I want to do that. And maybe my parents die. I say, listen, you submit to your parents. Jesus submitted to his parents. And he was God. You submit to your parents. And listen to me. You trust God that he's in control. All right? God is in control. So you trust God. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is that Daniel got an answer to prayer and got this prophecy about how long it would be until Israel would be right with God, until Israel would get saved, how long that would be. And I want you to look at verse 24 because it tells us how long it would be. I want you to look at verse 24 of Daniel and chapter 9, and it says in verse 24, 70 weeks, this is what Gabriel told him, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, Israel, and upon thy holy city to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. All of that, whatever all that means, that's how long it would be. 70 weeks, all right? Now let me ask you a question here. 70 weeks. That means 70 times, when you think of a week, that would be 70 times 7 what? If you think of it normally as a week. How long is a week normally? AJ, how long is a week? 7 days. So it would be 70 times 7 days until all of these things would happen. Now, how long is 70 times 7 days? How many days is that? 70 times 7 days, if that's what it really means. Well, if you have mathematical ability, that would be 490 days, right? Now, 490 days, if you figure that out in terms of years, that's about just, well, it's more than 1 year, right? 365 days in a year, and Jewish year would be about 360 days in a Jewish year. So it'd be more than 1 year, but not even 2 years. So, wait a minute, that doesn't work. So it can't mean 70 weeks of days. It can't be that, because it would be, Christ would be here, because he said Christ is going to come back at the end of this time for the first time. He's going to come back at partway through this time. And by the way, you kids there, AJ, you go sit there with, go sit with my wife right back there. All right, so it can't be 70 times 7 days. Now, how about 70 times 7 months? If it was months, that would make it 8 years. About 8 years. Well, it wasn't 8 years till Christ came back, so it can't be 70 times 7 months. What is it? One of the men tell me, it's 70 times 7 what? David?
Years.
And that equals 490 years until this whole prophecy would be fulfilled. You see, Daniel was worried about this. In Daniel chapter 8, he was concerned because he knew in Jeremiah 25 and Jeremiah 29, it said that it would only be 70 years until Israel was released from being captive. And that was only about 2 years from the time that he studied these things in the Bible. And he thought, oh, 2 more years and my people get to go home. Sometimes people are away from home. Maybe they're in jail, or maybe they're in reform school or something like that. Or maybe they're in the military. They want to get out of there and they want to get home. You read letters from them and they'll say, I want to get home. I don't want to be there over Christmas. You'd feel like that. And that's how Daniel felt. He wanted his people to go home. He missed his home. Now, Daniel never did get home. He got to be real, real old. He lived probably 90 years old or more. He never got home because God had a work for him to do. I left home when I was 19. I never did get back to Michigan. I'm still away from my home that I was raised in. But Daniel's home now, he's in heaven. That's his home. By the way, our true home is the New Jerusalem in heaven. There are streets of gold up there. There are gates of pearl up there. More importantly, Jesus is up there. And the angels are there. And our friends and loved ones that are saved are there. And so we ought to be looking forward to that. But Daniel wanted his people to get out. And God said, yeah, they're going to get out. They're going to be able to go back home. Just a couple more years left is all they had. They'll get to go back home. But he said it would take them, listen to this, 490 years before God is finished with Israel, so that Israel will accept the Lord and they'll be saved and the Lord can bring in the kingdom of God. And in that 490 years, Christ was going to come to this earth how many times? We really didn't say this, but maybe you can understand it. How many times does Christ have to come to this earth? Mark?
Twice.
The first time he came at the end of, get this now, 483 years. The second time he comes, it's going to be at the end of a seven-year period. And so 483 plus 7 equals 490. So from the time that this prophecy began until Christ came the first time, it was going to be so many years, 483 years. Now let's look at this. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. It says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks or 7 times 7 years. Now, and then it says, look at this, and threescore, that's three times, a score is 20, so 3 times 20, and 2 weeks, or that would be 62 times 7 years. And if you do 62 times 7, and then you add 7 times 7, which is 49, you have 483 years. Now, why did he have the 7 weeks separate? Well, that would be how long it would take to rebuild Jerusalem. In other words, there was a decree by a man who was the head of the Persian Empire to rebuild Jerusalem, allowing the Jews to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild their wall, and protect it. And it would take them 7 times 7 years, or 49 years. And then another 62 times 7 years. And you add those two together, 49 times 62 times 7 years, and you have 483 years. And he says, after the 483 years, according to verse number 25, blank the prince shall come. Who is blank the prince? Messiah the Prince. Well, what's that talking about? What's he saying? It'll be 7 times 7 years, and then 7 times 62 years, and you add it together, you got 483 years. It'll be 483 years, Daniel, until who comes? One of the men tell me. Kim?
Jesus.
And it will be his first coming or his second coming?
Second.
First.
Wow.
First, because he didn't come yet. He didn't come yet. Get this now. This is important. Daniel wrote in 538 BC. He hadn't come the first time. So they had to wait a number of years. And God said, listen, I'll give you something to give you a little bit of encouragement so you can know how long it's going to be till the Messiah is going to come and be our Savior and die for our sins. It's going to be 483 years. But what will start the clock ticking on those 483 years? What will start the clock ticking? What decree will start the clock ticking? I'll give you a hint. You can find it in Daniel 9 and verse number 25. What decree would start the clock ticking on that 483 years until Jesus would come the first time? By the way, as you're thinking about that, remember, it was Gabriel that gave this message. Who told Mary that she, as a virgin girl, never having been with a man, that she was going to have a baby, and that baby was going to be the Messiah? Who told her that? One of the guys tell me. What was his name? Kim? All right, Eddie? God told her, but he used an angel. What was the angel's name? AJ?
Gabriel,
same guy. Same angel. And, all right, now what was the decree that starts this 483 years going? Daniel, look for this decree. Now, Daniel wasn't even going to be alive then, but remember, Daniel would be teaching others. By the way, I hope I'm here when Jesus comes back the second time. But if I'm not here, guess what? I'm hoping for. What am I hoping for? David?
Was to be here.
I'm hoping that you'll remember what I said. And you'll be ready and you'll know what I taught you. Right? Because whether I'm here or not, I want to teach you so you will know. And there's a lot of young people here. You will know that. And you older people, listen. You older people need to listen because you need to teach your children. You need to explain to your children so they can get ready. And Daniel, maybe he wasn't going to be there when this decree took place that started the 480 years going, 483 years going, but at least he'd be able to pass it on to others. And that's why you're here tonight. You can learn it so you can help and pass it on to others. And that'll be a blessing to them. All right, so according to Daniel 9:25, what was this decree? It was to do something. And it would take 7 times 7 years or 7 weeks of years to get it done. It would take 49 years to get it done. But when that decree to do that job, whatever that job was, that would be the start of it. Ralph? That's exactly right. Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. The walls needed to be rebuilt. They had to dig a moat around it so it would be like a little river around the walls. So when people tried to come and invade it, they couldn't just walk in and take over the city. And they had to do that. Now, I did a little study to find out when that decree took place. You know what I found out? It was the decree of a man named Artaxerxes in 445 BC in the month of March. He made that decree to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. And a man by the name of, you'll know this guy, you'll remember him from the Bible, a man by the name of Nehemiah, remember him? He went to fulfill that decree and rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, all right? And so when Nehemiah heard that decree from Artaxerxes in 445 BC, if you knew what Daniel said, you would know, okay, now 483 years later, Jesus, the Messiah, is going to come. Isn't it sad that the people that had Daniel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people of Israel that had the book and had the Bible and they knew the prophecies, they totally missed it. All they had to do was calculate it. They could have figured where he was going to be born. The Bible says in Micah 5 he was going to be born in Bethlehem. The Bible told them all these things, when he was going to be born, and they missed it. They didn't recognize Jesus when he came. Hey, I don't want to miss the last 7 years that are still left because I don't understand the Bible. There are some people today, listen to me, they do not believe that we have to know the signs of the times. They think that Jesus is going to come back and catch us up in the air, and there are no signs that will happen before Jesus comes back. I don't believe that at all. I believe that before Jesus comes back, he will give, listen, look up here. He will give us signs to say, you're getting closer. And those signs will begin during the last 7 years that are still left. Because here's the thing I want to tell you. When Jesus came the first time, 483 years after this decree to rebuild Jerusalem, as Brother Ralph said, when he came the first time, did the Jewish people accept him as their Messiah and their king? No, they didn't, did they? And when he went into Jerusalem in fulfillment of Zechariah 9, verse 9, on a donkey, and he had a mother of a donkey, a little baby donkey, just like the Bible said, and he would ride into Jerusalem. All these people laid their palm branches down. They said, Hosanna. They called him the Messiah. They said, Hosanna. And 1 week later, they said, let's crucify him. They didn't really believe in him. That's the way some people are. They go to church one day, praise God, and next day you don't see them again. They don't care about God. They're cursing God. They don't love God. What's wrong? Maybe they don't have real faith. Maybe they just have head faith, not real faith in their heart in Jesus. Because if you really have, listen to me, if you really have saving faith, Jesus lives in your heart and he won't leave you alone. And you can't get away from him. You can't turn away from him because he won't leave you. He won't leave you alone. If he does leave you alone, there's something wrong with you. You never really got him in your heart. So I'm saying to you tonight that that you want to be able to know that there are signs of the times, and you want to be prepared. And that's why Daniel was written, to give us these signs. And we've seen in verse 25, they had that. And in verse 26, I want you to look at that. It says, and after 62 weeks, now you have to add the 7 times 7 to that. So after 62 weeks plus the 49 years, shall Messiah be cut off. The total of that is 483 years, but not for himself. Now what it means, what Messiah will be cut off, is that they rejected him when he went into Jerusalem. As he came in with the donkey, the Pharisees, the leaders of the nation of Israel, and the Sadducees, they rejected him. They said, you're not our Messiah. And they rejected him. And the Bible says God stopped it right there. He said, okay, I am stopping the clock on Israel right there. After 483 years. But watch this. Here's what he says. And the people, keep going, verse 26. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now just stop there. When they rejected their Messiah in April of AD 32, I'm going to give you the date. So from 445 BC to April AD 32, when they rejected Christ, it was 400 and how many years? Mark? 483 years. But how many years total until Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom? 70 years is a total of 400 and how many years? 90. So you subtract 483 when they rejected him at his first coming from 490, and how many years do you have left, one of the men? 483, subtract that from 490, how many do you have left? Yes? 7 years. So, all right, now here's the thing. Listen, 7 years left. Now somebody says, okay, those 7 years must already have been done, because the Bible says that it's 490 years and he came the first time and they rejected him, and so those 7 years must have been fulfilled. But no, they weren't fulfilled, because the things that he talks about have happened, are going to happen in verse 24, have not happened. He hasn't brought in everlasting righteousness. He hasn't sealed up the vision and prophecy. He hasn't done all those things, and we're going to study those things. He hasn't done them yet. So what happened after 483 years? Did the time of the 490 years keep on going after they rejected him, or did it stop? Well, the answer is it stopped. Well, is it going to start again? Well, now wait a minute. I want to tell you what happened after the 483 years. What happened to show that it stopped? Look at verse 26. It says that the prince of the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now listen, who are the people? Who are the people that destroyed the city of Jerusalem and burned the temple and took it to the ground after Christ was crucified and all of that? Who are the people that came and invaded Israel? If you know history, you'll know who it is. Who was it, Mark? The Romans under General Titus. And they burned the temple. And when Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said it'll be so bad that one stone of the temple will not be connected to another. They're gonna just take it totally apart. And you know why they took it totally apart? Every stone was pulled apart in that temple. You know why? Because when they were burning that temple, the temple was full of gold. They had a lot of gold in there. And the gold melted and ran between the bricks of the temple. And the Roman soldiers took and beat on those bricks to get the gold and scrape it off. Just like the Nazis did when they took the teeth, the gold teeth out of the Jews before they killed them so they could be rich. And that's what the Romans did. They took the gold right out of those bricks. And Jesus' prophecy was fulfilled because of their greed. Not one stone was left on another. By the way, I wouldn't want to be caught being greedy. I wouldn't want to be caught hoarding my money if I knew I could invest it in God's work, in the missionaries, and in God's church, and in His work. I wouldn't want to hoard the tithe and offering. I feel sorry for you tonight if you, when the offering is passed around Sunday after Sunday or Wednesday, and you don't give 10% of everything God gives you, and you don't give an offering over and above that tithe in and through the local church. Listen, you're robbing yourselves. And that's what these people did. They were greedy, and they missed out. on God's blessing. But every one of those stones were taken apart, and the Bible said that happened, and it was going to happen after the end of the 483 years. And listen to me, before the beginning of the last 7 years. Now, Christ was rejected in A.D. 32, April of A.D. 32. What year was it when the temple was burned to the ground by the Romans? It wasn't A.D. 32. Does anybody know the date in history when that happened? If you did a little study of history, it's right there. Let me tell it to you if you don't know it. Does anybody know it? All right, listen. Here's the date. Listen. A.D. 70. Now, 42, 52, 62, that's 38 years later. Wait a minute. How many years are left after Christ is rejected before the Bible says that Israel will get saved and the Lord will put the kingdom of God down on this earth and the lion will lie down with the lamb and we'll have peace and safety? How many years after Christ was cut off during his first coming will it be until God is finished with Israel and he brings Israel to the point they get saved? How many years again? How many years, Mark? 7 years. 7 years are left. How many years was it from A.D. 32 when Christ was cut off until the temple was burned down? Well, that was about 38 years. So guess what? Those 7 years, what I'm trying to explain to you is those 7 years did not take place right at the end of Christ's first coming. It didn't take place. What are they waiting for? Well, they're waiting for the future. Do you know what? They haven't started yet. Just like Daniel was waiting for the beginning of the 483 years until Christ came the first time, and he was waiting for that decree that Brother Ralph talked about to rebuild Jerusalem. That didn't happen until Daniel was already dead. That didn't happen until 445 BC. And they waited and waited for it. But finally it started. Hey, guess what we're waiting for right now? Listen to me. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord. But before the coming of the Lord, what has to start? What period of time has to begin to start taking place before the Lord is going to come back? Before we're going to see the real signs of the Lord's coming? What is that period of time called? How long is that period of time, Kim? Well, it's many people call it the tribulation, but that's not really an accurate term. That's what they call it. But how long does this period of time last for? That has to start before Christ comes back? It lasts for how many years? 7 years. 7 years. And that's called the 70th week or the last 7 year period of Daniel. 69 of those 7 years are fulfilled. 69 times 7 is 483 years. So we're waiting for the last 7 years to begin. And I want you to see what the Bible says about that. If you go down to verse number 27. By the way, before you go to verse 27, after the end of the 483 years in 70 AD, the sanctuary and the city were destroyed, and then there was a flood, it says, and there are going to be wars and desolations. What that simply means is that during the time after Christ was rejected until the end times, there's going to be a lot of war over Jerusalem, and there has been. And then it says, though, go to verse number 27, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, we're not going to have time to explain this verse tonight. But I want to explain this next week because it's a very important prophecy. All I want to ask you tonight is, when it says there, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Is that a week of 7 days? Or is that a week of 7 years? David?
A week of 7 years.
It's a week of 7 years. That's the last 7 years that we are looking forward to. And listen to me, this is very important. The Bible says that that 7 years will begin, and I'm going to take you right back to where I started. That 7 years is going to begin with a covenant, which means an agreement for this. peace. Peace. And we're going to study this next week. But when that last 7 years starts, it's going to be an agreement that will bring, I believe, peace between Israel and the Palestinians and all those people over there that want to get rid of Israel. And by the way, just because they sit down and say peace, does that mean they still don't want to get rid of Israel no more? No, they're just simply trying to get them to put their guard down so they can sucker punch them right in the face. Because they want them out of there. Make no mistake about it. Satan hates the Jewish people because he knows when they get saved, God's kingdom's coming to the earth. And he knows it's only 7 years left from when that peace treaty started. By the way, you want me to tell you something tonight? President George W. Bush said he believes, and I don't know if this will happen, but he believes before he leaves office, yet in 2008, that there will be this peace. And if it's the peace that allows for Israel to rebuild their temple, and we'll talk about that next week, and allows for Israel to offer their sacrifices on the Temple Mount again, that means it's only 7 years left until the kingdom of Christ comes to this earth. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I'm simply saying to you, I'm looking forward to this thing starting. And it's going to start. I don't know if it'll be this year like President Bush says, but it'll start. And next week, listen to me, I want to talk to you about this period of time. And I want to look at it with you because this is what we're looking for. And people think that before Jesus comes, starts this period of time called Daniel's 70th week, we're going to be out of here. We're going to be delivered out of here because God is going to be dealing with the Jews during this time. I want to tell you something. God can walk and chew gum at the same time. God in the book of Acts was dealing with a new group called the body of Christ who were getting saved, and Jews and Gentiles were coming together in this new spiritual body, and they were all being baptized by the Spirit of God into a new body called the body of Christ with Jews and Gentiles together under equal footing. But at the same time, he was preaching through the apostles and giving signs of the kingdom to Israel so that if they repented, he said that he would set their kingdom up. So he was dealing with Israel while he was building the body of Christ. And listen to me, when he is dealing with Israel again during the 70th week, he will still be working with the body of Christ, the churches, and that will happen right up until the rapture. We'll talk about that in the future. But let's stop right here. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Listen to me. God gave Daniel skill to understand these things, knowing that Daniel was going to die and he wouldn't even be here. You know what? I'm thankful I had my great-grandmother who taught me about some of these things. And I had my grandmother who talked to me about these things when I was a boy. And it led me to get interested in God and to realize the Bible was real and God was real. And that led me to look into the Bible. And then I got saved because I realized I was a sinner. And I needed to get saved. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that you need to get saved. And you know Jesus is coming back. And if you don't get saved, guess what? The Antichrist is going to get you. And you're going to be marked by him. And then you're going to go to hell forever. And so you need to get saved now. And Jesus can save you if you call upon him to wash your sins away. He's the only one that can do it. Pope can't do it. Church can't do it. You can't save yourself. Listen. If you're not saved, I would call upon the Lord tonight. I wonder if there's somebody, nobody looking around, but somebody says, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today that I would be saved. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your right hand up, hold it up high? All right, you may put it down. Now listen to me tonight. The Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. How can you know you have eternal life? The only way you can know it, Jesus is not going to come right down and physically tell you. He's going to send his word to you. And his word says, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Have you put your faith in Jesus to save you? Then you are saved. If you haven't, then you do that right now. And put your faith in the Lord and make sure, because then the Lord comes in your heart by His Spirit and He seals you, and the devil can't get you, and the beast can't get you, and the Antichrist can't get you, and the false teachers can't get you, and you won't take the mark of the beast. Now listen to me, if you are saved and you're on your way to heaven, you only have so much time left. And the Bible says we're supposed to be spending our time and our money for Jesus Christ, because we only have a little time left. You know, the closer we get to the end, the harder the devil works. And I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. And so I want to do what God wants me to do. Let me ask you something. Is there something that God wants you to do? Maybe it's with your money. Maybe it's with your time. It's with your life. That you're not doing it. And you're going to be sorry if you don't do it. Because the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Daniel wasn't here when Jesus came back, but he did everything he could do in his lifetime to get ready for it and to get others ready for it. I'm asking you, is there something or some things that God's convicted you that you need to start doing so that you won't waste your life? I'd like to pray for you on that. If tonight you say, Pastor, I've got something and I want to start doing it and I'm going to make a commitment, but pray for me. Would you raise your right hand, hold it up tonight? I need to do this thing. Amen. 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 Let's pray together tonight. Father, Lord, we pray that nothing would distract us from what you want us to do. I thank you that we have a number of people that have made decisions and they've been sticking with those decisions. But Lord, some people have made decisions and then they've gone back on their decisions of what you want them to do. I pray tonight, Lord, that you would remind them again and that they would stick with it. And Lord, that we would really be conscious of how soon it is before Jesus is going to come back, and we'd be ready and getting ready for His coming. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.